Brought to you by Make Fun Network. Welcome to the top 5 of death, where listeners vote and everyone dies. Listen and die.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 of Death. I'm your host, Matt. Still kind of sick. Wasn't planning on recording, but am recording, Bistany. I'm joined this week with Charles Nutchucky.
I'm here as well. I sound like I'm sick, but I'm not.
Weird.
Yeah.
Buff Chick Dip Will's here.
Yeah. Oh, I sound sick, too.
Recording from a skateboard on a half pipe, Will.
Hell yeah.
Sam's not here. Sam had a pet emergency that he had to dip out for. We wishing him all the best with that. Hopefully everything comes back kosher and everything's gravy. I don't know how many other 70s / Jewish slogans I can come up with. L'chaim! There we go. All right. Yeah. Will, how's your week? How you been?
Week was not that great. My wife got a little leg injury. My father's in the hospital for an injury. My friend Matt related, sick.
Are those two injuries related or
no?
Like, did someone try and do a figure four on someone?
was your wife and your dad having a Muay Thai kickboxing competition?
That's capoeira, but yeah.
Oh man, that'd be so funny.
No, completely unrelated, but just some tough news and going through it.
Well, you know, best of luck there. You know, it's hard times. High time, baby.
Hard times, baby.
All right. Charles, what's new with you? How many extra kids do you have on the way now since you've clearly gotten married?
What? I'm definitely working on that. I sound like I'm sick because we were at our first competition yesterday and we were yelling. I was yelling a lot.
What are you yelling?
Cheering people on.
Go, climb the wall, get out of the mud.
Oh, it's actually an indoor one.
Oh.
Dive under the clown face.
Yeah. we were basically just doing an event called High Rocks. It's basically a competitive workout. Running exercise station.
Yo, you are so fucking white. It's unbelievable. It's such like a white people thing. How many not white people were there?
Actually, my main sport, obstacle course racing, is more non-white or more white than this event. So
yeah, I get that though. That makes more sense to me. But like the indoor exercise thing is like, I could do the treadmill better than you.
No, there's a lot of people, a lot of different types of people at that one. At this,
yeah, but so. they're all white presenting. Don't lie.
Not in DC. It's not.
You went up to DC for that?
We were at the DC Convention Center.
Man, it always amazes me the things that I am so far removed from that are like that have such huge, you know, communities around. I mean that in a good way. Like I like that. It's something I would never do, but I'm glad that people find things they enjoy as crazy to me as it sounds.
Oh yeah. But there is a lot of crossover in the sport though. So it's a lot of the same people from obstacle racing.
Do you have like a rival that like shows up to all the things that you do and you're like, fuck that guy?
So actually it's not really a rival, but I've been racing him since like 2016. We've been to a lot of the same races, and early on he was beating me all the time, and then we kind of swapped, and then last year he beat me at a couple events. So we're in the same age group, so that's how we were doing yesterday. So I was 35 to 39, and I forgot he's in the age group. I knew he was there, and we were getting to the second to last station, which is walking lunges, sandbag lunges. So he was only halfway through the station, so I just kept doing, instead of taking breaks from my lunges, I kept going, and eventually I passed him. And then I, leaving this lunges onto the run, that's where I officially got a gap on him. So I did technically beat a rival.
There you go.
And once I saw him at the station, I was like, I can hunt him down at this point. So I went for it.
There you go.
I loved it.
Good.
It was a great time.
Fuck that guy. A pox on his house.
Yeah. He always goes out weights every race. He goes out very hot and like burns out at the end.
Classic.
Slow and steady.
All in the field.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Me, I'm sick.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel great. I'm okay enough. And I had like so 2 days ago, I had like a brutal head cold. My wife got strep this week. She bounced back pretty quick when she got antibiotics. I got a head cold on Friday, and then Saturday, meaning yesterday, I just had like a straight fever basically all day. This morning I woke up better than I felt the past 2 days, but still not great. And I was just kind of wanting to take it easy and relax. But then the top five of death signal went up in the air, and I was like, okay, I can manage. I was just looking for some R&R, but I can R&R on the show, baby. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be so aggressively on. I don't have to, I don't know, talk about everything, but here I am. I'm mm-hmm. glad I'm here. I'm having fun. So it's good. It's, you know, like when like you feel sick. And then the only time, like, and like afterwards, you only start to feel better when you actually start to kind of like engage in your normal routine.
Mm-hmm. So, I know exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to like do that. I got a fence coming my way. I got the, got a fence quote. I got the funds for it. Just got to put the deposit down and schedule it out. So new fence. That'll be good.
New fence, getting, new like, dog.
New fence, new dog. That's the plan.
Oh,
yeah.
Are we getting? I never thought you'd end up getting a dog. I always thought you'd be a cat person your whole life.
No. I mean, I've had dogs in the past. Mm-hmm. I've just lived in like apartments with like roommates. I've never been in like a position where I really could have gotten a dog. But I like dogs. Dogs are cool. I have no problem with a dog. I like cats too. Actually, we're getting another cat today.
Ooh, what number cat is this?
This will put us back up to four.
Oh, okay. I had no idea how many numbers you had. It sounded like you had more or less. Like you either had like two or you had like six.
No, we're going to get it. This cat has something called, it's something like cerebral malphagia or something like that. Basically, the cat doesn't know how to walk. Right.
Oh, it's one. Okay, I think I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. If you like Google it, it's very cute. It's a very sweet cat. And because of his condition, it's like $100. So like some of my wife saw it. She's like, oh, we have to get this cat.
Did you get it from Al's Discount Cats?
No. No. We get it from the same place. Sweet Paws Rescue is where we get all our cats from. So this will put us back up to four. And, we get the fence. I think next year maybe we'll get the dog. We'll see. Once the baby is a little sturdier. But yeah, that's my catch up. God, I'm dying. Who won last week? And if you say me, just skip it.
No.
Okay.
You
great.
Still haven't won this year.
That's fine. I hope I don't win all year. I hate everyone. Everyone sucks.
You were very close to winning.
I was very close. All right. Well, yeah. Those who voted for me, thank you very much. This week I'm happy I didn't win because I'm just not feeling it, but please continue with the chlorophyll.
Right. So, got some deaths to dole out here.
Oh,
so.
Will one? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. All right. So, bear with me here. This may go well or not. So, the gang of Charles, Matt, and Jareth Haddix found themselves on an unexpected adventure to find a magical ring to return to a king or something. They find themselves in a bleak and thick flora of the jungles of Mordor when a heavy rainstorm settles in. We have a tough battle ahead of us, Child explained to his cohorts. Wait, what's that? Jareth Haddix asked as he pointed to the sky. Vultures! We've got to get to that ring. They've spotted us. The enemies will be closing in soon. Yes, the ring, Jareth exclaimed. And then we can capture all the children, too. What? Children? No, Jareth, we're just trying to save Middle Earth here, Matt explained. Yes, and we can save the children for later use, too. Yeah, sure. Quick, We've got to hurry. The protectors of the ring are only 3 clicks north of here. Okay, that was quick. There they are, Matt exclaimed in a hushed tone. I've got an idea, Jareth rocked aloud. You see that rhinoceros over there? I'm going to crawl inside and Trojan horse these squares. Off Jareth pranced and dove straight into the rear end of the rhino with pinpoint precision and thump, giving a thumbs up to signal the team that he was ready to lay siege. When launching face first into the rhino, however, Jareth left a smattering of glitter and sequins around the anus of the beast, attracting the attention of Lance, the neighborhood's most flamboyant rhinoceros, who trotted over in a very cute way and then mounted Jareth's Trojan vessel. What's this? Jareth said, confused, as the massive rhino's phallus violently protruded into his hiding place. Faster and faster, Jareth used his agility to dodge the massive dong. But then, with a loud groan, Lance reached his climax and poured barrels full of rhino semen into the cavity as Jareth grasped for air as the liquid kept rising. Jareth perished. Shit, Charles shouted. That was a terrible plan. Oh boy, it's worse than we thought. They've got the KVWN Channel 4 news team watching the gate. Oh, I know these guys, said Matt. Bunch of blowhards that fight dirty. Well, two can play at that game. Then Matt reached into his suit coat pocket and pulled out 2 long swords. The two men ran into the fray, battling the obnoxious newscasters, fighting them off, one by one, when Matt suddenly looked up to a shimmering glint in the sky as a trident came piercing down into the chest, making the... Charles paused as Matt began writhing on the ground, slowly losing consciousness. Matt was gone. Finishing off the last of the news crew, Charles pushed forth to complete his mission. Quietly creeping through the guarded palace, Charles felt quite parched. He took a... meaning to be quiet, took a sip from his flask. Oh no! They've heard me! Just then, Smeagol leaps upon Charles, wrestling him to the ground and wrapping his hands around Charles' throat. Squeezing tighter and tighter. Give me the precious, Charles exclaimed. You see, Charles, there is no precious, Smeagol rasped back. You spent your entire life trying to see how the sausage is made, and now you can no longer see the forest for the trees. Now perish. Smeagol pressed his somewhat decent but good for the time CGI fingers viciously into Charles' eyeballs until... silence fell over the... Charles and the gang were no more.
You know,
that's my death.
You gotta appreciate the artistry just demonstrated there by Will. Going old school. I think there's a term for that. Do you know it, Foley. Charles? Foley? Fall? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing Foley. Yeah.
That's very fun. Good job, Will.
That was very old, like, radio host. Just doing sound effects live.
Well, I don't have the video editing and sound editing skills you guys might have, so got to go blue collar drywall on it.
Oh, God, just listen to the Dropkick Murphys while you do it. No, that was good. I like that. I, you guys, you know, new blood brings fresh ideas to the deaths, which is probably why I haven't won, because every time I win, I just improv it. But I think my improv deaths are good.
Yeah, it's solid.
So there we go. All right, cool. Great job. What are we talking about this week? Who picked the episode?
It is my pick, and we are doing, how do we put it, top 5 secondary TV show characters?
Yes. So what aren't we putting on the list?
So, like, basically not the main characters, not an ensemble cast. Like, the description I gave you was, like, the main people from Friends, the core of the Simpsons family. So, like, you know, Homer, Lisa, Maggie, Marge, and Bart. That's, like, the core of them. The nerds and Penny from Big Bang Theory, you know. I tried to be as vague as possible, giving out examples.
Good, good, good. All right, cool. Well, who wants to kick this bad boy off? What, is it something else, Will?
No, I just knocked over my rain stick.
Oh, man, what a sentence. Lucky you're married already, Will.
That's true.
All right, who's kicking this bad boy off?
I can go ahead and just start.
Okay, go ahead, big boy.
So, this is my one and only TV show character, like, repeat. I tried to do 5 different shows, and then I realized I only could think of 4 off the top of my head. So, number 5 is Teddy from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good pick.
I could have also done 1 through 5 of Bob's Burgers secondary characters, but I had to, like, sit around and think who's actually a good secondary character. And Teddy really, even though he is a incredibly flawed character, he brings just a lot of chaos to this whole show. And he also just is like, you know, he tries real hard, and he's got some, I think he's got some great one-liners, which is why I ended up picking him. Like, he's probably got one of my favorite moments, which is he's driving along in his truck, and the kids are trying to, like, sneak by, and they're like, they cut to him in the truck, and he's just like, I wish my radio worked. And I think about that too often, and every time I see it, I kind of forget it's happening, and then it's just such a well-delivered line. And then also, I can't not think of the "some kid threw a snow cone at my windshield. I thought I hit a rainbow. It was terrifying." I don't, like, he's not the smartest guy, but he has just these ridiculous one-liners to throw out at people. Are y'all crazy familiar with Bob's Burgers?
Oh, yeah.
Not I crazy love Teddy. Familiar, but enough.
Yeah. In the beginning, Teddy was like, he was kind of like an animal at times, because him and Bob would get in arguments, and then he'd just start growling and yelling at each other, and then eventually they'd just be like, what he's yelling at, he'll stop and be like, let me pay for my burger. Just let me pay for my burger. All right, it'll be $3.50. $3.50! But yeah, I could not add him onto this list once I sat through all the characters. So he just, because he has some nice moments, but he also has some really funny moments. And everything he does, he means well, but it just does not work out for him at all.
No.
So that's my number 5.
Lovable good. Sad sack.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a great for number sure. 5.
Great handyman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great number 5. Who's next?
Will.
All right. My number 5 is the side character from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Rickety Cricket.
Which one is that?
That is the, well, depends on what part of the show you watch. So it started off, he was this clean-cut young man trying to get into the ministry and become a priest, which he eventually does.
And he becomes like a disgusting drug addict hobo.
Yeah, because of the gang's narcissism and self, you know, involvement. he's trying to get with Dee, his lifelong love, and she just, like, leads him along for her own selfish purposes, and then ends up ruining his commitment to the cloth, if you will. And from there, he just goes downhill into this disgusting crack addict, willing to, like, eat an old rat for a free beer or something. And they just constantly fucking with him, treating him like garbage, even though they're the direct cause of his life being in shambles.
Right. No, that's a good one too. That's a show that I should probably start from the beginning, and I would more than likely thoroughly enjoy it, because every episode I do watch from time to time, I am like, man, this show is fucking very funny.
Oh, yeah. Always Sunny's fantastic.
Yeah. It's
one of the shows I started and then, like, fell off and then never picked up another, what, like 15 up seasons or something like that?
Hmm. Yeah, they're few and far between now. They really take some long breaks. But the quality and the silliness is still holds up.
Isn't Mac outwardly gay now?
I think that was just for a season. They did, like, a season of him being gay. They did, I think it still lingers a little bit. They did a season of Mac being fat, where he literally put on like 30 pounds.
I know, fat Mac, yeah.
And he was walking around with a trash bag full of burritos.
And then he got ripped, right?
Yep. Went back, got ripped. So quite the method actor for such a silly comedy show.
Yeah. What a that's a great show too. There's good TV out there. I don't consume enough of it. I just don't have the capacity to. While I was sick, I watched Infinity War and Endgame. Ooh. And
man,
those were so like when I like turned off Endgame, I was like, they put out the Marvels? That's where we are now, the Marvels? It's like, wow, what a fucking, you want to see how far the MCU has fallen in terms of quality? Watch Infinity War, then Endgame back to back, and then watch the Marvels.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
And the thing is, the Marvels isn't even terrible. It's just, it's not what we had.
It's not what we had. It's not what anyone was asking for. And I don't know.
The report is Brie Larson might not actually be on another Marvel.
So here, the thing about Brie Larson is I don't mind her as Captain Marvel. She gets a lot of hate, and like, listen, I love a good hate. Listen, that's my bag, baby. I love hating on shit. But every time I'm like, I don't know, I think it's fine. I don't see any problem with her portrayal of Captain Marvel. She's a little wooden, I get that, but like, I don't know. You can't have another like incredibly powered goof like Thor. Like, that role's taken. Uh-huh. And like then they have the wild card in the Hulk, well, you used to before they made him a fucking pussy. So that's gone. So she's just like this military, by the book, straightforward powerhouse. And it's like, oh yeah, I mean, sure, why not?
I just wanted her to get jacked.
Rip, brother.
I wanted her to be jacked Carol Danvers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any problem with it. I have a problem with the things outside of the movie that she's done, but like, her in the movie is whatever. All right. Am I up?
So, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'll leave you with just one of my favorite quotes from Rickety Cricket. He said, I just got into a skirmish with a stray chocolate lab. I'm not going to go into details, but suffice it to say, that dog is very paralyzed. So my number five, Rickety Cricket. Now you're up.
All right. So my number five is not going to get me any votes. And if it does, I'd be surprised. But I like to find characters that are just, I don't know, very, very minor, but I just like them. And this character is from the current runs of Mickey Mouse. And it is Scoot. Mickey Mouse's Scooter.
Scooter.
He's super cute. He's just like the scooter, and he just says Scoot, and he scoots Mickey around. And there's one episode that's Scoot heavy, where Scoot falls in love with a female scooter, Mini Scooter. So they're trying to do all these things to like impress the female scooter. So he gets his like tires all like pumped up to like be like muscly, but then he can't move. It's very funny. And I don't know, every time, and he makes appearances here and there, and every time I see him when my kids are watching Mickey, I just, you know, I got to give a shout out. I go, Scoot, Scoot. I would get a Scoot tattoo because.
Really?
Yeah. I because it's such like a, I don't know, it's just such like a fun, innocent thing that, I don't know, it's like, for me, it's like a, like Orange Bird at Disney World, where I love Orange Bird. And other people do too. But like, I don't want to be that guy. But I've loved Orange Bird much longer than his latest popularity has granted.
I had to look up what that was. I had
Orange Bird?
Yeah.
Yeah, the character exclusive to Walt Disney World during its.
That's why.
That's why. It's because when Disney World was created, Disney World struck a partnership with Florida Orange Juice to do cross promotion. And they created Orange Bird as a character to promote Florida Orange Juice and Disney World. So that's why his head is an orange, typically. But now he's just like an orange bird. And he has like leaves for wings. But they don't portray him like that too much anymore, which is kind of a bummer. But Scoot, though. Scoot's awesome. Scoot just says Scoot. My favorite quote from him is when he said, Scoot, it was good. But I love it. It's just that show's great. That's got a lot of fun, you know, characters in there. But Scoot's a new one. And yeah, I would get a little tiny Scoot tattoo for sure. No problem. Wouldn't bat an eye at it.
He has a cute little face on him.
He's a cute guy. He's a little cutie. And he's always helping Mickey. He's like a superhero.
Huh. I had to like specifically look this up because I Googled Scoot Mickey Mouse and that just showed me a bunch of like scooter, like push scooters you could buy kids. And I was like, buy that's this. Not what I'm looking for. Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for.
I did the same. And female Scoots is quite the bib.
Oh, yeah. She's freaking caked up.
Uh-huh. Nice saddlebags on this one.
But yeah, Scoot, my number five, probably a recent addition. But yeah, that's Scoot. There you go.
Wee. All right. My number four is probably won't win me any votes at all. And I don't think y'all will know who it is. It's John Ralphio from Parks and Rec.
I know this character and I like this character because my wife watches this show and I bought her a sweatshirt of him yelling in space, which is funny.
Yeah. He's played by Ben Schwartz, who's a great improv actor, but like he made this character what it was. Because if it didn't have his outlandish base like personality, I don't think it would have been as fun of a character.
No way. He 100% made that character.
Yeah. And he plays off of Aziz Ansari's character very well. Very good as well. But his whole... Anytime he delivers lines half the time, he will sing them to people.
For no reason.
Yeah, for no reason at all. And the characters do not like it. Ooh. But, God, I was pulling up a quote. He's like, how he got his money. I made my money the old fashioned way. I got run over by a Lexus.
And like when he does his stuff, you can tell that because of like his improv stuff, he'll like sing and then get in people's like direct face and like sing right into their like, and then you can tell that like that was unexpected and just like every reaction's genuine and it's so good.
Yeah, he does that to was it Ron Swanson?
Yeah, all the time.
So much. Nick Offerman plays off of that so well to have to play the straight man on that. But like, yeah, when I think of this character though, it's when he does sing to someone where he sings "I'm flush with cash," which I don't even want to attempt at that his voice because he's so high pitched.
What's the character's last name again? Ralph what?
John Ralphio Saperstein.
John Ralphio, that's right.
Yeah. But his dad's the dentist, played by, what's his name? The Fonz.
Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler, his dad. Also, his sister's fantastic as well.
Who plays his sister? That girl who swore on SNL, right?
Is that what she's named for? I've just known her from... The girl version of Workaholics, Broad Street.
Broad City.
Broad City.
Broad Street. Well, you get all your broads.
That's a decently funny show, but...
Mona Lisa Saperstein, played by Jenny Slate.
Yeah, Jenny Slate, who famously accidentally swore on a live SNL.
God, how many people have done that?
Probably a decent amount. To her defense, though, she was... literally dancing around swearing a whole bunch by saying mother effing or something like that. And one time she was like, motherfucking. And then it was like, oh.
I mean, Samuel Jackson did that during What's Up With That.
Yeah. But
he straight up cursed. And even, I'm blanking on his name. But yeah, even he called him out. He had a face on it. But
I got a clip. I think it's worth listening to. I don't know. I don't know if this clip's going to be good, but it's only 22 seconds. But it's John. It's John Ralphio is technically homeless, is the name of the clip.
Tommy T, you just missed the craziest of crazies. Clubs, girls, dancing, naked, mom, argument, police, fleeing the scene, hiding in a dumpster, coming here, crashing on your couch for a week because technically I'm homeless. Hey, mustache, I'm going to hit the couch. You know where I'll be.
Technically I'm homeless.
Yeah. The way he delivers the lines, that makes that whole character. Because I feel like you could give that to almost anybody else, and it's not going to be as entertaining.
No, and if anybody's heard the clip of, don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious, that's him and his sister. That's where that came from. Oh, my God. That's a great pick. I love John Ralphio.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's my number four.
Good one. I will. Sweet.
My number four is from what I consider a kind of an underrated comedy sitcom, In the League, And my number four is Rafi.
No idea.
Good pick. Watch also show. great comedy actor as well.
Yeah. He plays, you know, some of the raunchiest comedy I've seen on regular cable TV is from this guy. He kind of kicked down the door a little bit on this show. But he was just this disgusting, like, drug addict, piece of shit person amongst a group of, like, pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So he really, like, set himself apart as being this crazy motherfucker. But definitely played by, a side character.
Played by Mantzoukas?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason Mantzoukas.
Jason Mantzoukas, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with him, it's kind of this similar character he plays in most movies. But he just has the craziest lines, like, oh, I roofied 40% of the drinks in here. It's a numbers game now.
I got a clip says best Rafi quotes from the league, and you can listen to a few.
Sure.
I could watch her walk out of a room for hours. My sister's body is bonkers. I hope you are hitting that.
You know what? I have an idea.
Jerk off party?
No.
Let's do this.
No.
I like where this is going.
Okay, put it away.
Remember what I taught you. Do this, but then stab. Miss you, stab, stab, swim, swim, stab. I'm not like these other dads. They're weak. Like your husband, I'm sure.
I'm single, so.
How's it going?
Look, blood sugar.
He needs something like that. Like,
was there like a wrestling episode?
I think so. It's kind of an older show. Gone too soon, in my opinion.
Mm.
one of my favorite quotes. Go ahead, Charles.
I just realized his character in that, he basically took that character and played the same character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
It's the same character.
Yep.
Just now he's a police officer.
And he was great in that, too.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite scenes that I could recall off the top of my head was he was talking to Ruxin, Nick Kroll, and he's like, I just got done taking a dump in the backyard. And he's like, what? He's like, nothing. He goes, I thought that was my neighbor's Great Dane shitting in the yard. And he's like, come on. Great Danes do not eat that much bubble gum. But yeah, this guy just has the filthiest comments, just played a dirtbag. Had a great little pal relationship with Seth Rogen as Dirty Randy. But yeah.
I don't remember that. I watched a bit of the league, again, like the first couple seasons, then I stopped. It's one of those shows I just also fell off of.
Yeah, it was a little under the radar because it was a show about fantasy football, which is on its face is a terrible idea. But the people involved in the show made it work, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, I have a show I should visit. I like everyone in it, so.
It's worth a shot. They get a bunch of football player cameos, which is fun.
That means nothing to me.
Well, sure.
I just...
You can see Steve Ranazzisi before he was canceled for lying about being in the towers of 9/11.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
What a thing to lie about.
Yeah.
Wild. He's made a bit of a comeback, but yeah, Rafi from the league.
All right, Rafi from the league. All right, am I up?
Yeah, it's you.
All right, sorry, I'm dying. All right, so mine is from an older show. I grew up with this show. I love this show. I still watch it. I think it holds true today. I think it's better today. This is one of those shows you just couldn't make in these times, right? But my secondary character. I'll tell you the character, and I want to know if you can tell me the show. It's Steve Rhodes.
Steve Rhodes.
This is a bit of a trick question.
Steve, I don't know.
All right, that's his actual name on the show, but here's what he's also referred to on the show. Steve Darcy.
Now that sounds more familiar, but...
Yeah, Married with Children.
Married with Children, yeah.
Oh.
So he... The bit was that his name was Steve Rhodes, but because Marcy Darcy was such a, you know, a, at the time, I guess you'd classify her as like a feminist or something. He was such like a bit of a cuck. Yeah. He just went by her last name or something along those lines. But and he was replaced on the fourth season of the show with, yep.
Jefferson,
yep. Who was also great.
Yeah.
what I liked about that recasting is they just made a total character swap. They didn't try to replace Steve. They just had Marcy remarry to this totally 180 degree different character. So Steve is like this very straight-laced, to the point, no nonsense kind of character. And I loved him because he wanted to be good neighbors with Al. So he would, you know, seek him out for advice or try to like hang out with him. And Al would just, you know, get him into all types of shenanigans and would try to like tell him, you know, how to handle, you know, Darcy or try things with Darcy that never led to like Steve's benefit. And it was just, he did a good job of being a straight guy who was constantly a fish out of water. And I don't know. I always liked Steve Rose. I thought it was fun. That was very fun. You guys ever watch that show?
Yeah. And I agree. I like Steve a lot. I feel like he was a little too close to Al's character, which may have been the reason for the move. But in both relationships, Marcy Darcy was just the domineering one. And, you know, like the first husband just kind of couldn't get over it. So they split up and she got a dumb playboy that would just do everything she said.
Yes.
Sugar baby.
Yep, pretty much. Let's see if I find any like decent clips here.
Nope, sorry, Tex. No chores for you today. Maybe we'll have you chop a little wood for us tomorrow.
Aha. Uh-huh. I'm not really in the mood for this, Al. I just came over to say I'm sorry if the noise kept you awake last night.
Oh, don't worry. We didn't hear a word. Especially when Marcy said, I don't care how sad Mr. Mike is. There's no room at the inn.
So, even hearing his voice, he sounds like... Who does he sound like? Ah, God. He sounds like a specific Simpsons character.
Hmm.
Oh, God. Who is it? I don't know. But, he's just... Oh, I'm just gonna play some more. I just want to see where this goes.
If it's that woman, I'm not here.
He's over there.
Stephen Ross, don't you dare think you can walk out of this argument.
What argument? Do you see an argument? No. All I see is an innkeeper who doesn't honor reservations.
Shave the beard.
Okay. I'll just have to go where my beard is appreciated. Somewhere where looks aren't important.
Oh, no.
With my friends, the Bundys. And I will remain here until you accept this beard and all it stands for.
Fine. You can stay here as long as you want.
How long will that be, Steve?
All that over because he wanted to grow a beard. Gotta respect the man. He's a good man, Steve Rhodes. But I love him. I think I always thought he was a fun guy. Good mushroom. But yeah, it's my number four, Steve Rhodes.
Hell yeah, Steve.
Charles.
Yeah. My number three is Richard Nixon from Futurama.
Oh. Kiss. No, go on. Yeah. No. I've seen some new recent stuff about Nixon, and it's really interesting. But go on.
So, not based on real life Richard Nixon, this is definitely a wildly overcharacterization of him, and it's probably the only good version of Nixon I feel like we'll ever have. But I could feel like you could pull all the quotes just from his one episode ahead in the polls, which is when he's running for election as president of Earth. But like this is a character me and my buddy from high school used to quote at each other, like via text and everything. We would just half write a quote and then the other person would finish it, because it's just he's just so ridiculous. Like when he's running for re-election, he's like, listen here, Missy, computers may be twice as fast as they were in 1973, but your average voter is as drunk and stupid as ever. The only thing that's different to me is I've become bitter and, let's face it, crazy over the years. And once I'm swept in the office, I'll sell our children's organs to zoos for meat, and I'll go into people's houses at night and rack up the place. Like, he's so crazy. The whole episode, like, he could have just been in one episode and he would still be on my list for this. Because it's basically him from 1973, but he's trying to deal with the world as it is. And he wins re-election. I think he stays president of Earth throughout the whole run of Futurama. I don't know about currently because I'm not watching new episodes, but like, he's just so quotable.
Definitely a villain. Similar to the actual guy.
Is he a villain though? No.
I don't know. I heard the racist stuff he said.
Who, Nixon?
Yeah.
Come on. He's a man of the times, man.
Doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, what are you going to do? The 70s? What is that, like 100 years ago?
God, is that 50 years ago at this point?
Yeah, know what I hate when people are like, we're closer to some fucking number that seems so far away to me than we are from like a number I remember as if it was yesterday.
The 90s, and you're like, stop it.
Yeah. All right. If people are looking for some sort of rabbit hole, I would highly suggest going into the rabbit hole of the Nixon Watergate scandal today. Things that have been uncovered today. It's really, really, really interesting. Basically, the short version is, I'll give you the shortest version, right? Nixon won the presidency with like a 48-state fucking landslide. Most, like, biggest fucking victory ever. Everyone loved him. Everyone voted for him. And he had big beefs with the CIA and all the intelligence agencies. There's a recording that was uncovered of Nixon talking to the head of the CIA director, telling him that he knows what really happened to John, is what he says on the tape. And then all of a sudden, the whole fucking investigation starts out of kind of nowhere, where they just essentially bug and try to find anything they can get him on for whatever to get him out of the presidency, which they eventually succeed in doing. But there's a ton of crazy information out there that you wouldn't have been able to get in the 70s because there's no internet, right? There's no like alternative source of like reporting. You only get what you're given. And back then, as we know now, it's basically funneled from the government or whatever. But back then you would have no idea. It's super interesting. Just go check it out if you're into stuff like that. There's like a couple YouTube videos. I can't name them off the top of my head. But they're like long expose stuff with like some pretty credible, independent journalists. It was crazy. I, when I heard it, I was like, whoa, I didn't know that, but why would I? So who knows?
I've never really looked into Watergate, to be honest. I know it's like a giant piece of our like history, but like every time I hear about it, I'm like, I wasn't even alive. I don't care.
I know. Isn't that like stuff like that makes me really like curious as to like what is and what isn't? Because we all grew up being like, oh, Nixon was a bad president who resigned. And then like you read like the details of it, that's like more unearthed now, and you're like, whoa, wait. He won by 48 states. Like he was like the most popular president of all time. And then he had to resign. The government the establishment does not want someone with that many people behind him in that office. It'll never happen. It's too much of a risk for the regime and the establishment. But it was super interesting.
I was looking at the election of 1972. Damn, he really did.
Yeah.
Clean house.
He cleaned the fuck out of the house. And then he was threatening the CIA because he was pretty much like, you guys are fucking bastards and you lie and you fuck shit up. And you killed John F. Kennedy, which basically has been all but confirmed by, people who are just, who know of it, which is like one of those things where it's like the documents haven't been unearthed, which is even, declassified. They keep getting reclassified every time they're up for classification review. Which is bizarre. But it's interesting. If you like that stuff, I like that stuff. I was very shocked about it. I have a total different opinion of Nixon now. Mm-hmm. The whole thing's up in question for me, which is fine. It's not going to affect my life right now other than just more so proving to me that the three-letter agencies need to be completely disbanded, and I would love for someone to do that. Anyway, well, who's up?
Nixon's pro-war and pro-family. So,
I mean, who isn't?
That's his quote from the show.
Pro-war and pro-family.
I'm Nixon's pro-war and pro-family.
That is a great... Also, I mean, he is a great character to parody, and...
Oh my God, that's all I've known him as.
I know.
His parodies from other shows as Nixon. Because he's got it. I got to say, he's probably our most ridiculous looking president we've had.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a real life caricature of a person in terms of facial structure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's wild. But he fucking, people liked him. Bored the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? All right. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Will?
Yes. My number three. My number three is from Home Improvement, the next door neighbor, Wilson.
Good pick. I almost put him on my list, and I'm glad you did, but please continue.
Yeah, for those who have not watched the show, I guess, this was a great little gimmick, which I'm a sucker for, you know, sitcom gimmicks, where this neighbor was kind of an all-knowing sage, and whenever the family had personal issues or some kind of life drama going on, they would find themselves out in the yard and strike up a conversation with the neighbor, who would never show his face, never the bottom half of his face could you see on any episode of the show. He was always hidden by the fence, or if the fence wasn't there, they would figure out some other creative way to just mask his identity as he moved from point A to point B. Typically, a scene would start with Tim Allen being outside, one of the kids having a problem. You go, "Hey, is that you over there, Wilson? What you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, just cleaning up my rutabagas." And then Tim would respond with, "Shouldn't you do that inside?" Always some, you know, silly little pun. And then he would go off into this diatribe of like, you know, back in ancient Mesopotamia, a situation just like this happened, and you know, where the Zuku tribe is having a fight with this, and it's kind of like what Brad and Zachary are dealing with. And he would come out and lead Tim to the solution to resolve the episode's problem. And I just thought it was a great little gimmick character, executed perfectly, and very creative with all the different kind of hobbies that he would be into.
Did they ever show his face in an episode? Or was he always hidden throughout the whole time?
I think on the finale, he did a little reveal.
And no one knew who it was.
So I found a website. It's called, well, it's like something archive, .co.uk, so you know it's legit. But it's a whole, it's a long page of quotes from Wilson. I'll read you a few of them. Never give a sword to a man who can't dance. Better to have people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That one we know.
Yep.
There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. There's nothing so exhilarating than being shot at and missed.
Very wise.
Oh, here's one for all the married folk. A successful marriage is an edifice that must be rebuilt every day.
Didn't know he was so wise.
So wise. Ooh, oh, a harmful truth is better than a useful lie. That one I very much enjoy. That's why I got no friends, baby.
Yeah, pretty straightforward guy. Simple pick, but
I love
Home Improvement.
I love Home Improvement too. I have a hot take here. And this character might be on other people's list, so I apologize. But Wilson, better neighbor than Feeney.
So I was going to put Feeney on my list, but I figured he was a little too main character.
I don't know about that, but I have no problem with Mr. Feeney, but I'm putting Wilson above Feeney as a better neighbor. Suck on that, freaks.
Wilson probably is a better, yeah, I would say he's better than Mr. Feeney, but I don't remember. I remember these shows, but I don't remember specific details about these shows to like have a strong opinion on either of them.
Yeah, I get that.
I will say Home Improvement is better than Boy Meets World. The only thing for me Boy Meets World had was Topanga.
Oh my God. So, boy, did they have her.
Yeah.
Fucks.
Again, that woman has aged like fine wine. So
here's a weird thing I do. sometimes when I see like a person that attractive, I just like, I really give like a real good thought to the fact that somebody's banging that. And mm-hmm. it's like, man, how lucky does that person understand how lucky they are? I don't know.
As the old adage goes, show me the hottest woman and I'll show you someone who's tired of fucking her.
That's a Wilson quote if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, and given Wilson as much screen time as Feeney got, that would be an open and shut case. Wilson all the way.
Hell yeah. Well, wow. You know what? I'm glad we can agree. I bet Sam would have disagreed, but, well, maybe he can disagree next week.
Yeah.
All right, am I up?
Yeah.
All right, so this is a character I also enjoy. Does not have a lot to offer, okay? Literally just like one bit. He had a couple episodes that kind of featured him a little bit more, but he has such a pop culture bit to me. And my number three is Jazz from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Mm. great pick. Watching him getting thrown out there.
Yeah, that was his whole bit. Is he would eventually say something that would like upset Phil. And then just cut to him getting physically thrown out of the house and him just yelling. But it's just so funny. It's just Will's buddy, who just like isn't up to the standards of the Banks household. And I just always, whenever he showed up, I was like, I knew what was going to happen. I was in on the joke. And I couldn't wait for it. But there was an episode where he did start dating, I think her name was Hillary.
Hillary, yeah.
Who's so fucking hot.
Rizzed her up.
Oh my God, he really did. He's so hot. But oh, I got some best of Jazz. I hope these translate.
Mr. Jazz.
It's nice to meet you, Jazz.
How do you do? I'm Mr. Banks.
You got that right.
Mr. Jazz is here to see you.
Yeah, what up, Jay? What's up, man? Man, I got this new Ice Cube tape. It's dope.
Hey, Jay, I ain't got enough time for that, man. I got to finish writing this poem.
Poem? Then what you gonna do? Bake some cookies? Hem a dress?
Shut up. I'm doing it to get this girl. All right, look, listen to what I got so far. I just need one last line. My love for you is like a river. Like a summer breeze that makes my soul shiver. One look from you is more precious than gold.
Let's go get some barbecue and get busy.
What kind of line is that?
It always works for me.
I love Jazz. That's all he did. He just came in, said some bullshit, got thrown out of the house. Just couldn't beat it. But, I mean, filmed in front of a live TV studio audience whenever he made an appearance. People were excited to see him. He was a legit DJ. He had his own fans.
Yep. I was going to say, still is. That was what... He was Will's recording partner, right?
Yeah, it was the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff. Huh. So, I mean, he's a legit musician. But yeah,
did you say still is, Will?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still out there.
Hold on. What?
I think I've seen him
to Spotify.
Have tour dates.
Yeah. I remember checked it.
Jazzy.
Also a person I didn't realize what he looked like. I never really thought about it.
Let's see. Oh my God, he hasn't put out anything in fucking 20 years. Oh wait, that's not true.
Yeah, I thought he was a great character. He kind of represented the type of person they were trying to keep Will away from out in West Philadelphia, but he ended up finding the guy because he didn't go to their school or nothing.
No, he didn't. He put out an album in 2018. It's the last one he did. Let's see what he's got. So far, so good.
T up, T
we up a rock blow. Love it, hate yo, I like it. Let the world know.
Oh my god, this shit, boy, in the girl show. Yeah, I'm forgiving my father, focusing on the world mode. Been around the county.
Yeah, I might fucking jam.
I might
later.
Check this out. Yeah. Well,
if you are interested, you can catch him on tour this year with the New Kids on the Block and Paula Abdul.
Why? I don't want to see them.
Is he opening so I can just go watch him and then leave?
He is last billing, so I think he would be opening.
Son of a. Oh, okay. Last billing. So, yeah. Yeah, I'd be into just watching that and be like, all right, see you later.
Yeah, I love that early 90s hip hop feel.
Mm-hmm.
Very into it. Hell yeah. But Jazz is my number three. Charles, number two.
Oh. My number two is, I'm surprised it took us all the way to number two to get a Simpsons character here.
My number two is also a Simpsons character.
So is mine.
Mine. I wonder if it's a repeat because I have Police Chief Wiggum.
Not mine.
Nope.
Nope. I had to really think about background characters here because literally you could pick any of them. But I went with his because I was listening to another podcast talking about The Simpsons, and they were rattling off Wiggum quotes, and he's just, yes, he's underqualified for his job, but he's so dangerously underqualified to be a police officer at all. The one, like, I don't have the quote in front of me, where he's like, Marge shows up and he's like, oh my god, you said Homer was DOA? DOA, oh, no. He has a DUI. And a woman walks in, she's like, hi, I'm here to pick up my husband who got arrested for a DUI. Oh, I'm on break. And just something along those lines is the quote, just like, oh boy.
You said my husband was DUI? Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. what is it? Where I'm trying to pull them all up. Like, where he's like, he's explaining where he has someone. This is Papa Bear. Put on an APB for a male suspect driving a car of some sort heading in the direction of, you know, that place that sells chili. Suspect is hatless. Repeat, hatless. I'm on a road. Looks to be asphalt. Geez, trees, shrubs. I'm directly under the Earth's sun now. he's not good at, I don't know if this character's had anything good happen for him.
One of my favorite ones is they're arresting somebody. I think it's Sideshow Bob. But he's like, bake them away, toys. And
yeah.
Carl goes, what'd you say? He goes, just do your job.
I was just about to say that because I think or say that like every other week.
And then the other one is, we won. We won. Unfortunately, since I bet on the other team, we won't be going out for pizza.
Oh, his hockey team, the Pigs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This character, like, I struggled to pick a Simpsons character, and I just landed on Wiggum because at the time, this is what I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Yeah, Chief Wiggum is great. I'm trying to think. I like the one where he's... an episode where Ralph is trying to win over Lisa for Valentine's Day, and he's sitting there trying to crack a walnut at the table, and he's like making this allegory of women to walnuts, like, you just gotta find a way to crack them, and he starts hitting it with the butt of his gun, and the one won't break, so he just opens fire on it, and then he goes, let that be a lesson to the rest of you nuts.
The other one was, I've got everything I need to convict your boy, except for motive. Means an opportunity, but you also have no evidence. That's implied.
Yeah, like he shows up to a crime scene once, and he's just got no pants on. People are like, hey, chief, where's your pants?
Nuts.
We could do this all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a great number two. It goes without saying. Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, what else is there to say?
Yeah, but again, this could have been a whole Simpsons episode.
Most of our episodes could be all Simpsons episodes.
Very true. I would love a reason to start rewatching the seasons again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Will.
Fuck 'em, Lou. My number two, also a Simpsons character, as we said, the lovable, wholesome Ned Flanders.
That's a good one.
Good pick, yeah.
Not my pick, but good one.
despite, you know, the Simpsons, they do like to hate on religion on occasion, but they always give Ned the respect he deserves as, you know, the world's most charming and helpful neighbor. And no matter how fucking awful Homer is to him, he's always right there for him.
All the time.
He's just the most humble and God-fearing man. Even lost his wife because of Homer, and he still will let him borrow his lawnmower.
Oh my God. That episode, I can't get over that they like stuck with that.
Oh yeah. Shot with a t-shirt gun.
And what a horrible way. Yeah. For a character to go. And you're like, oh my God.
Mama's with the angels now.
Yeah. I know I'm speaking for myself, but I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who put on some tight fitting clothes and you think the same thing. Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Damn sexy Flanders.
Stupid sexy Flanders. Flanders. I love that he owns a shop for left-handed people only.
Yeah, the Leftorium.
Includes coffee mugs.
Obvious favorite episode is Hurricane Nettie. With the hurricane only destroys his house, and then the looters are only rioting at his store.
Yeah. He's just constantly bashed. Like, life just wants to bring him down, but it can never succeed.
Yeah. During that episode is my favorite. Is like when he finally snaps on everybody. It's probably some of his best work.
Oh yeah. Like, is that the sound of butting in? I hear. Must be little Lisa Simpson. The answer to a question nobody asked.
Yeah. And he finally gets the last word. I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk. Hey, what I meant.
Hey, I just got here. In that episode too, another favorite quote I have is after he goes through his like therapy and he's like learning to like let his anger surface more often. He's like, well, if anyone annoys me, I'll be sure to let you know. And I was like, woo. And he's like, and if you really tick me off, I'll run you over with my car. And I was like, yay.
Yeah. Just this quietly evil fucking.
Also, you can't overlook the fact that he is apparently hung.
Oh, yeah.
He's ripped and hung.
Yep. That's so funny.
He did have a subtle jab once at Bart, and Bart yells at him like, hey, back off, man. And he says, okay, dude, I wouldn't want you to have a cow, man.
Man.
Here's a catchphrase for you to learn when you get older. Hey, buddy, you got a quarter?
Yeah. And then he gets to, you know, Chief Wiggum. He's like, oh, the only case you've ever gotten to the bottom of is a case of Malamars. and then Krusty's like, Malamars, that's good. He's like, oh, the clown, the only one who doesn't make me laugh. Yeah, that whole episode's so funny. All right, yeah. Cool.
Love Ned.
All right, well, then this keeping the Simpsons train rolling, my favorite secondary character from the Simpsons is everyone's favorite bartender, Mo Szyslak.
This was... What my other one I was leaning on was Mo.
So funny. He's a bartender of Springfield. He is this like a dirty, shady guy. He's very self-loathing. He doesn't think much of himself. Anytime like he can't get out of his own way as far as like when good things start to happen to him. He's just got so many great fucking lines. One of my favorite images, and I considered getting another tattoo, was just this screenshot, is the Christmas episode. And they're doing like the whole like, I forget what's a parody of, but I think it's the three ghosts. It's when like the school needs funding. And at the end of like, Mr. Burns saw three ghosts that night and funded a school with some money he found in his tuxedo pants. But there's a clip at the end of it when they're doing this whole like voiceover, you know, wrap up of everyone. And they're like, Mo took his head out of the oven. And it's just a picture of him with his head in the oven with a note on his back that says no funeral. I just want to get that his head in the oven, no funeral sticker on his fucking back. It's so good. It's so good.
His constant suicide attempts are just so funny.
Another favorite one I have is when Marge is sitting in for Reverend Lovejoy on like the helpline, and so Mo calls in and he's like, He's like, listen, lady, he has this problem. And she like kind of solves it for him. And then he calls right back. He goes, yeah, it's me again. He goes, it's about my cat. And you see the cat in the background going, grrr. It's like, shut up, I'm asking her.
Yes.
It's so fucking good. He's so good.
The one line that pops up in my head for him, which is not even that funny of a line, where it's Krusty's auction, where he bets on like his stack of Playboys, and he's like, well, that's it for me tonight. Good night, everybody. Good night, Mo. And I don't know why that's so funny, but the fact that it's just the character is directly referencing, like, that's all I got for today, and just walks off.
Ah, it's so good. He starts dating that girl, and he's like giving her the highlights, so he keeps coming up with schemes to get money. And then like he convinces her that they need to like fake their own deaths. So he comes up with this whole thing about like robbing corpses and then blah blah blah. And then the girl's like, Mo, like, I'm leaving. Or she's like walking off, and he's like, are you going to get the corpses? And she's like, no. It's so good. Ah, man.
I think what sums up Mo pretty good is when he said, I've done stuff I ain't proud of. And the stuff I am proud of is disgusting.
He's got some great lines. He's an awesome character. Or when Mr. Burns is the alien, so Mulder and Scully have an appearance, and they're like, who are you guys? He's like, oh, we're FBI. It's like, and he goes out back, and they just have this fucking whale in the back room, and he's like, they're onto us. And the whole episode is them trying to get the whale out of there.
Yeah.
It's so funny. They never explain it. That is such, like, you can just tell when Conan O'Brien and that crew were writing The Simpsons, because shit was so funny.
It was those hot, like, what, seasons like 4 to 6 or something like that?
Yeah.
On his, basically the golden ages of The Simpsons.
Yep. But yeah, that's my number two is Mo Sizlak. Now on to our number ones, baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's me. So this is my repeat, and it's definitely because I rewatched the show. It's from Bob's Burgers as well. And anytime I watch this, I just can't believe this character hangs around with Bob and the kids, which is Mr. Fish Odor.
Yeah.
Like, played by Kevin Kline, but this is one of those characters. He's their landlord. He's filthy rich. He's basically originally portrayed as like almost like some type of evil villain, because he has an eye patch, he wears all white and a cape, but he genuinely likes Bob and the kids, even though they never pay rent on time. They're clearly a problem for him, but his lines and the way he interacts with them, because he's way too rich to be hanging out with these people, but they're just always there. Like, probably his best line is, I once lost $30,000 on a horse. She just ran off with it. I lost the year 1996 to schnapps. I still don't know what the Macarena is. No. Don't tell me. I'll figure it out. That, and he does hang out with the Fish Odor kids like a lot for some reason. And I think it's because he is a good foil for how ridiculous they are. But there's he pays the Belchers 5 months rent to come and pretend to be his family for Thanksgiving so he can woo a homewrecker, a woman who is too good to be the only woman, as she says. So he has the kids, and like to bribe them to play along with them a little more, he gives them like ticket prizes, or basically like Chuck E. Cheese, since he does actually run the local like Chuck E. Cheese type place. But it's every time they say something nice to him. So like Louise walks up, she's like, oh, father, I wish every day was Father's Day. And he was like, he's saying under his breath, like, keep it coming. Then Gene walks up. He's like, father, I love you so much. Let me refill your drink. He's like, laying on a little heavy, but try some better next time. And then Tina's just like, hey, dad, do you remember that time it was Father's Day and we had a great time? And he's like, oh, come on, you're not even trying. Like, he's saying this underneath their breath at them, treating them like they're equal types of people to him. And he just, it's perfectly fine. I wish I could play a shit ton of stuff about him. But anytime he's on screen with them, he's just, I think he's gold, in my opinion.
Yeah, he plays a great evil villain. They even had, like, if I remember right, a Freemason type episode where he was in this cult. What was that one? Where they made something.
Oh, they're just rich. It's just him and his rich friends. Where they every Christmas they do a gingerbread building house building competition. But they're all old rich dudes and they all bring guns to it. And he brought Bob to just be the loser, but Bob's good with food, and he actually does fairly well.
That was kind of a dinner for schmucks type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Fisher, I like at right now he could easily be swapped as a Simpsons character, but since I rewatch the show so often, the more I watch the show, the more I appreciate this character.
Bob, as I recall, you raise either chinchillas or children.
Look at him. We can't send him to jail. He'd hate it there. And that's after his brother kidnapped him, tied him to a pier, and left him to die.
I did see that episode.
Oh, man. I love this character so much. I don't think he'd be good as, like, oh, yeah. You don't hold your ding-dong when you pee? Why? It's not going anywhere. Yeah. I love this character. I don't know if it probably doesn't deserve to be a number one, but right now, for me, it does.
Oh, no. Your number one's your number one. I get it. That's a great one. I am not familiar enough with the show. I like the show. I just haven't watched it. It wasn't at a time when I was consuming a bunch of TV.
It's on its, 14th season, but it feels like it's only been around for a couple, but it is. It's
sneaky long.
It's a sneaky popular show. If they keep up their quality, crazy enough, it might surpass The Simpsons for me, which I feel like is blasphemy to say out loud.
I think they passed Family Guy because they just moved Family Guy to Wednesday nights.
What?
Yeah, that's a death knell.
But let's be honest. Family Guy was only good in their initial release, I feel like, was when they were really good.
I mean, that's when we were most fond of it, but it's the same fucking recipe.
True.
Yeah, it's wild to think that show exists the way it does, and then Seth MacFarlane's like a fucking raging lib.
Is he? Yeah. I never looked into how he is as a person.
He's like Kool-Aid drinking, doesn't know the truth about anything. Which, here's the thing about celebrities and them being liberal. They don't know what's going on because they don't give a shit, which is fine. He was on Real Time with Bill Maher, and you should have heard the stuff that he was saying. Stuff about COVID that's been collectively debunked and untrue for the better part of over a year and a half. And he's just spouting it off that's the latest news. And it's do you watch what timeline do you live in? But he's busy and he doesn't care. So, but it's weird to hold on to those values so aggressively that you would try to make it an argument where it's so incredibly wrong.
But this is on the suddenly conservative Bill Maher show.
I wouldn't say he's conservative. He's just a little bit more open to the fact that.
He shifted greatly from what I remember him, 10 years ago.
No, the thing is the things that you remember, he hasn't shifted. Everything else has shifted around him.
Okay.
It just feels that way because he's still very much
it seemed like he played behind that fence, and maybe now he's just not doing that.
It's really just the COVID stuff that he kind of called bullshit on. I can't really think of much. Fair. Maybe the immigration. He's a little bit more, I don't know, factual about. But he's still he still gets a lot of stuff wrong. He has Trump derangement syndrome like anybody else does. He just says stuff that just that was proven to be debunked and untrue here and here. And he goes, okay, fine. That's what he. That's his thing all the time. He goes, okay, fine, and then he moves on. Who did he just have? He had because he has a podcast now called I forget what it's called, but he has a podcast where it's essentially long form conversations with people. And he had this famous woman fitness person on his show, and he's pro Gavin Newsom for president. Oof. And this woman, that's what I'm saying. He's not that conservative. But this woman was talking about how she lived in California, and he was like, his question was like, is your life that bad in California with Newsom? And she goes, I moved. And he's like, oh. And then she's like, you know why I moved? He's like, my house got broken into two times by people that never went to jail on their third strikes. So she left because that's the policy. That's how he's running the California. Mm-hmm. And then Bill Maher gave his classic, like, okay, fine. just moving on. which is too bad because I genuinely like Bill Maher as like a person. I like the way he talks, and I like the way he delivers stuff. But some stuff he's just like he's so behind. Like, he doesn't read the news is the short of it. Like, he's just like, he's always like 8 to 10 months behind on like where things actually are, which a lot of people are. But Seth MacFarlane, I was like very surprised. I'm like, wait, you make Family Guy, and you guys have some of the most like, you know, edgy kind of touch on some stuff things ever. But I don't know. I was just surprised. I thought he would just be more of like, I don't give a shit, or I'm just more middle of the road. But nah, he's a Hollywood lib.
So where were we?
Didn't know. My number five, Mr. Fish Odor.
Mr. Fish Odor.
Number one. What?
Or my number one, yes.
There you go. All right, Will.
Will.
My number one is dear to my heart, the show that I've watched probably more than anything else, that show being Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't pick one from Seinfeld. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't think of one that I would pick over the others. So I'm interested to see who you picked.
I think you're going to like it. My number one is Frank Costanza.
Oh, that's a great one.
Great pick, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he's great.
A legend of the show, you know, even though he wasn't on nearly half the episodes. Festivus, the world-renowned holiday to replace Christmas.
Yeah.
I think of this quote from the Festivus episode all like weekly. You know, I got a lot of problems with you people. During the ceremonial airing of grievances, which in itself is just such a legendary sitcom episode of any show. With the aluminum pole that he brings back because Kramer's showing interest in it.
Yeah.
But it's haunting memories for George.
And no one can eat until someone pins him or something like that.
Yep. The feats of strength.
Feats of strength.
We don't eat until you pin me, George. He's like, oh, geez, Dad. He's like, let's go. Or I think he said, let's rumble.
One of my favorite Frank Costanza quotes is when he's getting into the bra business with Kramer.
Mm-hmm. You mean the man's ear.
The man's ear.
Man's ear.
Or maybe it's not that. Maybe he's just talking to George. He's asking George if he knows anything about bras. And George is like, I don't want to have this conversation. He's like, you got your A cups, your B cups, then you got your C's, and then you got your D's. The D's are the biggest. And like, he just doesn't want to talk to him about it. It's just so funny.
It's great. And I think that was in the bro / men's year episode, which is phenomenal. I mean, watching Kramer putting the bra on Frank and then Estelle and George walk in the room like, what the fuck? And Kramer just kind of looks up and smiling like, yeah, you know. But yeah, the way he just would start a sentence, you know, with an angry tone, but then finish screaming it.
Oh, so good. And he was good on, he's on Everyone Loves Raymond too, right?
No. King of Queens.
He's good on that too.
Mm-hmm. Same character, still amazing, but a main character on that show. Well deserved.
And that's Ben Stiller's dad?
Yeah. Correct. Yep.
Jerry Stiller?
Jerry Stiller passed away, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Legendary comedian.
Just give me a second. I got to pull up some.
I used to love how he would get angry at George for whatever reason, and the way he would smack him on the forehead with his open palm. So fucking good.
That's still playing.
Whoa.
That's my toe. All right, here we go.
Let me understand. You got the hen, the chicken, and the rooster.
Yeah.
The rooster goes with the chicken. So who's having sex with the hen?
Talk about it another time.
But you see my point here? You only hear of a hen, a rooster, and a chicken. Something's missing.
Serenity now! Serenity now!
What is that?
Doctor gave me a relaxation cassette. When my blood pressure gets too high, man on the tape tells me to say, serenity now! At the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year. You have no eye for fashion.
I have no eye for fashion!
All right!
Okay, that's it. We're moving.
What?
Yep. I will not tolerate infestation.
That shirt. Where'd you get that shirt?
What?
That's my cabana shirt. You stole my shirt, you son of a bitch! George, have any idea your friends were over in the attic stealing my clothes? Give me that back! Give me that!
So good.
The Seinfelds don't want us in Del Boca Vista. We're going to Del Boca Vista!
Ah, so good.
I got one other quote here that I wrote down. So he was talking to Kramer, I believe, and he goes, so I went to buy a doll for my son when he was a kid, and as I reached for the last one, so did another hand. So as I rain blows down upon him, I thought there's got to be a better way. It's just his 0 to 60 is unmatched. One of my favorite, my number one. So my favorite secondary character of all time.
People who don't get or like Seinfeld, I don't understand you. It's so fucking funny. One of the best character driven shows ever.
Yep. My wife doesn't really like Seinfeld, but whenever the rare chance I put it on, she ends up laughing at it. And I'm like, see, you like it.
Oh, that's everything that I try to show my wife. She goes, I don't like, she told me, she goes, I don't like cartoons. She told me that a while ago. She watches a ton of animated stuff. I go, you like this? Mm-hmm.
I don't like your cartoons, Matt.
Yeah. Jess was not into cartoon shows, and I made her watch Bob's Burgers. And now she is like, is the new episode out yet? And I'm like, no, it's not out yet. We're still waiting on this. She's like, oh, man. I'm like, yeah, exactly. But now I have to get her to budge on The Simpsons, which she has no interest in.
Oh,
I'm like, it's the same. I was like, they're so good.
If there's only a way for us to marry each other.
Yeah.
Will, you going to say something?
Yeah, I really like the last couple seasons of The Simpsons. I think they've had some really great stories. And
I've considered watching from like when I stopped up to present because I'm just curious. There was like I caught like an episode or two here and there when it was like quote unquote awful, and I didn't think they were whatever episodes I watched. I thought they were fine. There's this one quote that I remember from something where Homer and Carl and Lenny, they were playing like some sort of like chair hockey in the office with like brooms and paper, and they were like sitting on like rolling chairs. And
I've played that.
Yeah, and they were like, hey, you can't do that during any name some game. And then Lenny's like, what? I thought we were playing Cincinnati Time Waste. And like they just keep like naming these like made up games. And it was pretty funny. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. But I don't know. Yeah, I would consider it for sure.
Yeah, Simpsons still rules.
100%. All right, my number one.
Yeah.
All right, my number one. This is definitely my number one. Give me 100 seasons following this character around. I want to see everything they've ever done. I want to see their entire lives forever. And my number one secondary character is Sandor Clegane, better known as the Hound.
The Hound.
I love the Hound on Game of Thrones. He is so fucking cool. He's so badass. He's so good. He's so, like, as the show goes on, you realize how good of a person he actually is. And it was one of the best developing character I've ever seen. He's just, he's billed as, like, this scary, just beast, violent thing at the beginning. And as time goes on, ultimately, his philosophy is the world is awful and I'm just surviving. But he talks about like, he takes Arya Stark under his wing and kind of like protects her and like teaches her about stuff, even though she wants to kill him. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then as time goes on, it's just like all the stuff he tries to save, the redheaded one, whatever her name is, Sansa.
Sansa
Stark. And then like he meets up with her later on after she's gone through hell. And he's like, if you had come with me that day, none of that would have happened. And it's mm-hmm. just like, he's like, no Littlefinger, no this. He's like, it would have never happened if you were with me. And it's just like, oh, the Hound's like the hero, like we don't deserve, but like we need. And he's just awesome. He's just, his dialogue is brutal. He doesn't give a fuck. He's just a man.
Yeah. I read these books just as the show was coming out. So I love Game of Thrones, The Song of Ice and Fire. This is one of those characters that benefited more from the show. Because in the books, he's not as fully developed. He's there, he has these moments, but he's not as good as he is in the show. This is the case the actor really well-rounded him. And especially, they elaborated more on his time with Arya, and it made him a better character. And I think, it's like, you get what's the word I'm looking for? Basically, the series finale of this show, you get like the ending this character mostly deserved, but he guides Arya in the right direction finally at this last moment. Someone finally like one of these people finally listens to him, where he, because she was, Arya's this character built on revenge, and he's like, you think you wanted revenge a long time? I've been after it all my life. It's all I care about, and look at me, you want to be like me? Yeah. You follow me down this road. You stay. You follow me. You die here, is what he tells her. And it's like, shit, yeah. This is how this character is built. Like, this is what he was. This is all he's ever wanted in his life. And he was like the one responsible character to the Stark girls the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's crazy.
One of my favorite scenes, I'll play it for you, is the chicken scene. It's just one of like, it's such a good example of like how badass he is and just how comedic he is without like unintendedly, but it's great.
Like wherever we go, these are the king's colors. No one's standing in his way now, which means no one's standing in ours.
Fuck the king.
I heard that Joffrey's dog had tucked tail and run from the Battle of the Blackwater. I didn't believe it. But here you are.
Here I am. Bring me one of those chickens.
You got money to pay for it?
You paid for it?
No. But we're the king's men. So, you got money?
Not a penny. I'll still take that chicken.
Tell you what. We'll trade you. One of our little chickens for one of yours. Give us a go at your friend.
Lowell there likes him a bit broken in.
You're a talker. Listening to talkers makes me thirsty.
Pounds of guy's beer.
And hungry. Think I'll take two chickens.
It just goes on like that. It's like the guy keeps trying to like talk tough, and he's like, I bet she's like, I'll eat every fucking chicken in this place. It's so fucking good. But it's just such a, I love that character. One of my all time, I think you talk, I know Charles, you mentioned this sometimes when you're like, mm-hmm. I think about this way more often than I should. If I can't get just a standalone The Hound show, give me The Hound and that fucking giant wildling. The back and forth they have, they're like the best fucking comedic duo ever.
Oh, Tormund Giantsbane?
Is that his name?
The redheaded guy. Yeah. They were probably the best. That was probably the best part about those final seasons was the amount of Tormund we got.
Oh my God. This right here. So they talk about Brienne of Tarth, and this back and forth is like, if this was a show, I would watch it on 10 TVs to make sure that it got the ratings that it deserves. But this is so good.
You're the one they called the dog. Fuck off. They told me you were mean. Were you born mean or you just said wildlings?
I don't give two shits about wildlings.
It's gingers I hate. Gingers are beautiful. They are kissed by fire. Just like you.
Don't point your fucking finger at me.
Did you trip into the fire when you were a baby?
I didn't trip, I was pushed.
Ever since you've been mean.
Will you fuck off?
I don't think you're truly mean. You have sad eyes.
You want to suck my dick, is that it?
Dick?
Cock.
Ah, dick. I like it.
Bet you do.
No, it's pussy for me. I have a beauty waiting for me back in Winterfell. If I ever get back there. Yellow hair. Blue eyes. Tallest woman you've ever seen. Almost as tall as you.
Brienne of Tarth.
You know her?
You're with Brienne of fucking Tarth.
Well, not with her yet. But I see the way she looks at me.
How does she look at you? And she wants to carve you up and eat your liver?
You do know her.
It's so funny. Those two are so fucking good. That show's great. I miss that show. House of the Dragon, I like very much as well. I like it probably just as much as Game of Thrones. I don't know if that's like a hot take, but I think it's good. But you know what? Doesn't have the Hound. So
yeah,
right then and there.
One other quote I thought of the Hounds was him and Arya like standing in the bushes. She's like, he has needle. Of course you named your sword. Lots of people named their swords. Lots of cunts.
lots of people named their swords. Lots of cunts.
That paired with the imagery of both of them, just their faces cut out from like the bushes, is so ridiculous. Like, you could have done a whole... we basically got a whole season of him and Arya, but you could have done a lot longer and just... elaborated on that.
Yeah, he's great. Man, I love
he's
him.
He's so good in that show.
Well, that's our list. So we have fun butt lists?
We do.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, we have a pretty good amount. First, we have Scissor Lord. Number five, he has Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World. Four, Opie from Sons of Anarchy, which is a great pick.
Three, I know who that is.
Yeah. Where have you gotten up to in Sons?
I'm still in the middle of season two because I haven't picked it back up.
Okay. Number three, Grogu from The Mandalorian, which is that a secondary or is that
like the whole catalyst of the show?
Yeah. Number two, also Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead. Good starting background character. Now he has his own goddamn show. and then number one, Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother.
How is that not a main character? That I think that falls under the Friends rule.
Yeah, I did not watch How I Met Your Mother, but I feel like he was one of those characters, was a side character, and then eventually, towards the end, they're all part of the main cast at this point.
Yeah, questionable, but we'll allow it.
That's why none of, I like The Big Bang Theory, that's why none of them ended up there, because eventually they're all the main characters at this point, at one point. Next up, we have Daniel Sepultura.
Oh, shit.
Number five, we have Wilson from House. Four, Lassie from Psych, which I haven't watched Psych before. Three, Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Great pick. Nice try on this. You're stealing someone else's bit. Four, Norm. Damn it, I just... two, Norm from Cheers.
It's hard, right?
I went right back and looked at it because I lost where I picked up. And number one, Hal from Malcolm in the Middle. Man. I wonder if Dave Howard's going to be pissed because he's been trying to get me on that this whole time. Next up, we have B. Davis, number five, Bronn from Game of Thrones.
All right.
Four, the janitor from Scrubs. Three, Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad. Two, Chibs from Sons of Anarchy. And number one, River Song from Doctor Who.
Do you know the bit about the janitor from Scrubs?
No.
I don't watch the show, but the janitor from Scrubs is the guy from The Fugitive. Mm-hmm. And then there's an episode where they watch The Fugitive and then eventually start asking the janitor if he's in The Fugitive. And it's just like, they never confirm or deny it. And it's just like this funny bit.
Oh, I do recognize the character though. A very serious guy. Yeah.
Next up, we have K-Funk. Number 5, Rickety Cricket.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
4, The Fonz. 3, Murray from Murray from Flight of the Conchords. 2, Mr. Leahy from Trailer Park Boys. And number 1, Harley Quinn from Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
He has an honorable mention, John Ralphio of Parks and Rec, and Orr Wilson from Home Improvement.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Is K-Funk our straight up target demo?
Maybe. you know, guys in their mid to late 30s.
That's him.
Yeah.
Yep. He's got a collection of figures and comic books in the basement, all meticulously arranged.
Yeah, that's our target.
Yeah. Next up, we have Mike D. Number 5, Karen Page from Daredevil.
Yeah.
4, Riley and Jonesy from Letterkenny. 3, Roy Kent from Ted Lasso, which was a great pick. I should have picked someone from Ted Lasso. I kind of forgot about that show. 2, Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm covered in oil.
Number 1, Kramer from Seinfeld.
Yeah,
that's, a little too main character.
That's too. I mean, it's not close. Their fault. We didn't like outline it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we have Mitch Mint, Freshest of the Fun Butts. 5, Hopper from Stranger Things. Great pick. 4, Grimm from Billy and Mandy.
Oh, nice.
3, Patrick from SpongeBob. 2, Charles. What's his last name? In Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
In Charge.
Boyle. Yeah, Lieutenant Boyle. And 1, Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Topher Grace.
Topher Grace. Next up, we have Josue.
Oh, on point.
5, we have Hal from Malcolm in the Middle. 4, Norm from Cheers. 3, Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. 2, Lassie from Psych. And 1, Wilson from House.
Solid.
Yeah. No way you really watch Cheers.
That's what I was going to say.
No way.
He really young to be.
Oh, explain your Cheers background, please, in the Discord, which you can get to by going to top5.com.
Daniel Sepultura also had Norm from Cheers.
Oh, so maybe they just grew up on. All right, Sepultura boys, explain yourselves.
Yeah. Next up, we have CJ Doubleday. 5, Mr. Donald Twinkasette from Perfect Strangers. 4, Cliff Clavin?
Cliffy Clavin.
Cheers. I did not watch Cheers, so. 3, Supervisor Patrick O'Boyle, the King of Queens. 2, Alfred Pennyworth, Batman 1966 TV series. And 1, Roy Hinckley, the Professor from Gilligan's Island.
Nice.
And next up, we have Sam. Give us a list in the Fun Butts list.
All right.
5, Doug Judy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Nice.
4, Zap Brannigan from Futurama.
Oh, no.
3, Troy McClure from The Simpsons.
Nice.
Rest in peace.
2, Rickety Cricket from It's Always Sunny.
Hell yeah.
And 1, Dale Gribble from King of the Hill.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. Next up, we have Gray. 5, Creed from The Office.
Oh, it's a fucking
that could have made my list. Damn.
God, he's funny.
4, Lionel Hutz / Troy McClure from The Simpsons. 3, I can't believe this is also on someone's list, The Hound from Game of Thrones.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. 2, Andy from Parks and Rec, which is also controversial because he's basically a main character at the end. And also, and his 1 is definitely a main character, which is Jesse from Breaking Bad.
I fell apart at the end there.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. Next up, we have Dave Howard. 5, Skeeter Valentine from Doug.
I almost put him on my list.
Important, he said pre-Disney, though.
Pre-Disney, yeah.
Fair.
4, Abed from Community. 3, Sergeant Terry Jeffords from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. 2, Harrison Wells from The Flash. And 1, Uncle Iroh from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Should I watch that show, the live action one?
I haven't watched it yet and I'm worried.
Well, here's the thing.
I haven't heard anything good.
Well, I never watched the anime. So
anime's good. Like surprisingly good.
Yeah, that's what people say. I don't know. I always thought of it as being like a bit young.
It is, but it's for being that's the show that got me into watching more anime, to be honest.
I don't know, maybe I'll try.
And lastly, we have Mazer, number 5, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld.
Oh, it's a great one.
Nice.
4, Ferguson from New Girl.
Okay.
3, Basement Plague Ghost from Ghosts, which is a show I have not watched, but I've heard is good. 2, The Janitor from Scrubs, and 1, Garrett from Community.
Nice.
And that's the fun butts.
Hell yeah. If you want to have your list read, go to top5ofdeath.com, join the Discord, get in that community. It's a great community. It's still pumping. People still chatting, still going good, going strong. Highly encourage getting in there. All right. Yeah, that's our episode. I survived, which is nice.
Yeah.
I feel pretty okay. So I'm going to go try to, I don't know, live a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any last words, boyos? Fair. Charles, rebuttal to that?
No.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll catch you next week. And as always, smell you later.